Hello everyone, welcome to Box Office Receipts. I'm your host Tyler Callahan, and for this episode we got the latest numbers, we got the Emmy winners, new movies in development, updates from Sundance, and streaming news. Let's start with the domestic top five. With it being Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, domestically, the numbers will be in a four-day format to include Monday. Opening in first place from Paramount is Mean Girls with $33.6 million. Opening in second place from Amazon MGM Studios is The Beekeeper with $18.7 million. Third place was Wonka with another $11 million for a total of $178.8 million. Fourth place was Migration with $8.54 million. For a total of $88.1 million. Fifth place was Anyone But You with $8.5 million for a total of $56.7 million. There was also another new film that opened called The Book of Clarence, which debuted in ninth place with $3 million. So that is the first bomb of the year. It is produced by Legendary with Sony distributing. As for the other film updates, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom is now at $109.3 million. The Boys in the Boat is at $40 million. The Iron Claw is at $29.6 million. Poor Things is at $17.7 million. The Boy and the Heron is at $42 million. And Godzilla Minus One is at $50.9 million. So if Paramount, this was a good weekend for Mean Girls, and definitely better than just releasing it on Paramount Plus, no doubt. One small concern, though, is the film got a B cinema score, so I wonder if people went in kind of tricked, not knowing it was more of a musical, left annoyed. Definitely just keep an eye out for the word of mouth on this from the audiences. For Amazon MGM Studios, The Beekeeper actually performed slightly better than expected with a B+ cinema score, positive reviews from critics. This could have a good run at the box office. In China, Johnny Keeps Walking continues to do well, staying in first place with another $19.7 million. For a total of $109. In China, Johnny Keeps Walking continues to do well, staying in first place with another $19.7 million for a total of $109 million. In second place was The Goldfinger with $6.1 million for a total of $57 million. Third place was Follow Bear for Action, which debuted to $5.1 million. Opening in fourth place was The Beekeeper with $4.5 million. And in fifth place was I Did It My Way with $2.7 million for a total of $47.7 million. For worldwide numbers, Mean Girls, it opened in a few markets, wasn't a big international rollout yet, but did earn $6.5 million for a worldwide opening weekend of $34.5 million. The Beekeeper earned $20.4 million for a worldwide opening weekend of $37.1 million. Wonka earned another $15.3 million for a worldwide total now of $505.3 million. It looks like Aquaman will indeed pass Black Adam, with it earning another $16.6 million for a worldwide total of $373.7 million. Migration earned $8.9 million for a worldwide total now of $172.6 million. Anyone But You earned $5.1 million for a worldwide total of $78 million. And Night Swim is at $29.7 million worldwide. We start off the news in Hollywood with Paramount, as Bloomberg is reporting that National Amusements are talking to Apollo Global Management. If Apollo were to go ahead and actually buy National Amusement and gain majority control of Paramount, it would not be the first media play they have done. They actually already have a share in Legendary Entertainment. In release date news, A24 has set a date for Plaza Mixto, which is set for a limited release on March 3rd and will go wide on March 22nd. It stars and is directed by Julio Torres and also stars Tilda Swinton. And in an exclusive from Deadline, A24 is moving up the release of Civil War, directed by Alex Garland. It is set to come out on April 26th, or I should say it was, and now it is coming out April 12th. As for why, well, with this change, Civil War can now be screened in IMAX, so probably worth the move. Toho International announced that the black and white version of Godzilla Minus One will hit theaters in the US on January 26th for 1 week, with the theatrical run for the film ending on February 1st. Just an outstanding run for the film. This was a great surprise hit at the box office, and I hope Toho starts thinking about releasing other films domestically in theaters as well. Universal and Blumhouse are moving back their horror movie Speak No Evil from August 9th to September 13th. The movie is directed by James Watkins and stars James McAvoy. Also, in another exclusive from Deadline, The Book of Clarence has been pulled from its theatrical release in the UK. It was set to come out on the 19th, being distributed by Sony for Lionsgate, but it is now no longer showing any available showtimes. Deadline reports that Lionsgate requested this, and that a new release date for sometime in March might happen. I wonder if they're pushing this back to give it a release date closer to April, which might be a good move as it bombed domestically, and at this point it needs any help it can get. VU International is currently in talks with lenders and shareholders on a plan to swap debt for equity in a restructuring of the company. The cinema chain has 226 cinemas across 9 countries. In a casting update, Deadline is exclusively reporting that Jennifer Coolidge, Kate McKinnon, and Jermaine Clement are joining the Minecraft movie. Filming has already started in New Zealand. Deadline is also exclusively reporting that Domino Gleeson and Asia Gonzalez are joining the upcoming Apple Skydance movie Fountain of Youth. Gonzalez is specifically starring opposite of John Krasinski and Natalie Portman, so I assume she will be the antagonist. Rosa Salazar will be the female lead for Play Dirty, with Deadline exclusively reporting that she will join the upcoming film directed by Shane Black for Amazon MGM Studios. In new films in development, Deadline is exclusively reporting that Gabriel LaBelle, Cooper Hoffman, and Rachel Sennott will star in the film SNL 1975. The film focuses on the behind the scenes of the first episode of Saturday Night Live. It comes from Sony and will be directed by Jason Reitman. Not sure if there's much of an audience for this film, but we will see. Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan are teaming up to make a new original movie. Not much is known right now, but Jordan would star in the film, with Coogler directing, writing, and producing. The next three new films in development were all reported on first by Deadline. For Universal, they are moving ahead with producing a film based on Anthony Kiedis' memoir, Scar Tissue. He is the frontman for the hit band Red Hot Chili Peppers. As a big Chili Peppers fan, I am definitely going to be watching this when it comes out. Christopher Landon has already found his next project as he heads over to Lionsgate. The studio is buying a film package to adapt a short story called Big Bad, written by Chandler Baker, into a film, with Landon set to direct. It'll be a werewolf horror movie. Now, that's something we haven't seen in a while. Taylor Sheridan and his production company, Bosik Branch, have won the rights to adapt the book Empire of the Summer Moon, Quanah Parker and the Rise and Fall of the Comanches, the most powerful Indian tribe in American history. It's not exactly clear if it'll be a film or a series. It is being reported that Searchlight has given back Magazine Dreams to its filmmakers, as they will now be able to shop it around. This was the Jonathan Majors film Searchlight initially bought at Sundance last year. It was set to come out this past December, right, looking for that Oscar push, the award season, and then obviously everything else that happened, both him being found guilty of assault. Obviously they're not moving forward with releasing it. In the UK, Jonathan Ross is set to host the Oscar coverage for ITV. The Sundance Film Festival started this week, which means we have films being premiered and bought. Variety is exclusively reporting that Sony Pictures Classics have bought the film Kneecap. This is a film about an Irish rap group starring Michael Fassbender, and is also the first Irish language film to play at the festival. Good for them. Sony will get the distribution rights for the film in North America, Eastern Europe, Latin America, Turkey, and the Middle East. Deadline is exclusively reporting that Searchlight Pictures have bought the global rights to A Real Pain for $10 million. The film is written, directed, and stars Jesse Eisenberg and also stars Kieran Culkin as they play as cousins who reunite to tour Poland in honor of their late grandmother. It'll get a theatrical release later in the year. Alec Baldwin has been charged with involuntary manslaughter by New Mexico, with the actor being indicted by a New Mexico grand jury. This comes after he was initially charged back in early 2023, with the charges dropped last April. Ashley Park is recovering in a hospital after suffering from critical septic shock. Glad to hear that she is recovering. Septic is no joke, seriously. If you ever get it, ever get sepsis, right? Right, so it's septic shock, but technically it's sepsis, right? That's the actual name. if you ever get sepsis, just go to the hospital, just straight away. Just, you can't wait it out. Just the earlier, the better you go to the hospital. Sadly, we did have a death this week with Nancy Green Keys dying from acute respiratory failure. She was 68 years old. She was a casting director who casted quite a few films, including The Notebook, Rush Hour, and Freddy vs. Jason, among others. Thoughts and prayers are with her family during this time, and may she rest in peace. Trian Partners have officially submitted the paperwork and are asking Disney shareholders to vote Nelson Peltz and Jay Rasulo to the board of directors. As part of this, they did release a statement, and one of their goals is to hit profitability on streaming. Shocker! For them, that means hitting Netflix-like margins of 15 to 20% by fiscal year 2027. That's a nice goal, but I've been saying this now for a while, and it has yet to happen. What is the plan? If Peltz really wants to have a shot to go for this to go through, he needs a plan. Okay, you want the margins to be at this level? Fantastic. What content are you going to cut to get there? What prices are you going to raise to get there? Is it going to be a combination of both? Do you have any plans to acquire new customers? Like, something. You need to present to shareholders something. Amazon MGM Studios is opening up a production hub in Canada, with them having reached a deal with Pinewood Toronto Studios. As part of the deal, the studio will get exclusive use of 5 sound stages with additional accommodation for them, giving them 160,000 square feet to work with. Chad Stahelski is taking a bigger role at Lionsgate. He has signed a deal that gives him creative oversight on Highlander and John Wick. He also released a statement about the news, quote, "I am pleased to be able to grow my relationship with Lionsgate in this new oversight role for the John Wick universe and its further expansion. John Wick is so close to my heart, and to be able to continue shepherding it will be a blast for me. I'm so happy to also be launching another franchise with Highlander, a world that is so rich with engaging stories to be told," end quote. I think what this kind of confirms is that, they're giving it some time. But I think this kind of feels like a John Wick Chapter 5 is going to happen now. Because the only thing on deck for John Wick franchise is the ballerina spinoff, and that's it. And I don't think you move him into a position, you don't give him a title of like overseeing the franchise creatively. If it's like, hey, we know you love John Wick, we know you've worked on John Wick, just make sure the spinoff is good and then that's it. Like, no. If he's overseeing creativity of the franchise, you gotta have at least one more movie in the bank, right? So I think that means that's Chapter 5 at some point. And look, for all the work going into it, I do hope the Highlander movie turns out good. I do. Cillian Murphy's upcoming film, Small Things Like These, is set to open the Berlin International Film Festival in February. It is a historical drama focused on the Magdalen laundries in Ireland, which were terrible asylums that were run up until I think it was the early 90s. Murphy is playing the lead. It's directed by Tim Bellens and produced by Big Thing Films and Artist Equity, so Matt Damon and possibly even Ben Affleck are producers for it as well. Those asylums, they were terrible. So this is definitely, I think, a film that you should be keeping an eye out this year. I'm curious who's going to buy it, but definitely could be, I would say, for that kind of film, if the reviews are good and all that, I would say definitely it could be an early awards contender for next year. We got the nominations for the BAFTAs, and Oppenheimer got the most with 13 nominations, followed by Poor Things, which got 11. Compared to the other awards so far, it looks like Barbie is not as popular overseas, with it only getting 5 nominations. Anatomy of a Fall got 7, All of Us Strangers got 6, and Saltburn, which has been on the outside looking in for the most part of the award season, was nominated for 5. The award ceremony takes place on February 18th. The Critics' Choice Awards did just happen, and with that we have a list of winners. Oppenheimer won Best Picture, Best Acting Ensemble, Best Supporting Actor for Robert Downey Jr., Best Visual Effects, Best Editing, Best Score, Best Cinematography, and Best Director. Paul Giamatti won Best Actor for The Holdovers, Emma Stone won Best Actress for Poor Things, and Divine Joy Randolph won Best Supporting Actress for The Holdovers. Anatomy of a Fall won Best Foreign Language Film. Let's start off VOD Premium with Max, specifically first True Detective Night Country debuted with 2 million viewers across HBO and Max. The latest season of the anthology series has been getting good reviews, and I expect as word of mouth starts to pick up, the viewership will likely increase for upcoming episodes. Another week, another cancellation, with Rap Shit getting cut after two seasons, and while not exactly cancellation, Kaley Cuoco has confirmed that The Flight Attendant will not be coming back for a third season. That one's kind of not really cancellation. It was meant to be a limited series that became popular, so they, you know, reworked it, came back with a second season. So that one's less surprising. Deadline is exclusively reporting that the Harry Potter series is starting to move forward, with a group of writers making their pitch on what their take on the series would be, but the first round of pitch is already done in Los Angeles, and now the second round is happening in the UK. Forest Whitaker is joining a new MGM Plus series called Emperor of Ocean Park, where he will play the role of Judge Oliver Garland. In an exclusive from Deadline, they are reporting that Paramount Pictures have extended their deal with MGM Plus until 2025. Now, the deal itself is a bit confusing, as the terms are a continuation of the reviewed deal they previously made. As far as I understand it, MGM Plus technically has the pay one window for Paramount theatrical releases, but under the revised deal, Paramount can choose to pay them out and to have it premiere on Paramount Plus first and then go to MGM Plus. While this gives them flexibility, it also feels like it's costing them quite a bit. Like, again, not sure what the financials are on this, but it could add up to a good amount. You know, like for example, since take Top Gun, right, from last year, right? They paid out MGM. It's like, we want Top Gun for Paramount Plus first, obviously. Does that cost them more than, say, Paw Patrol, you know? But look, for MGM Plus, this is still good, as they will still have a consistent stream of movies coming to the service from Paramount, just a bit later than what they were originally signing up for, which I don't think will hurt them, because I really don't think people are chomping on the bit to sign up to MGM to watch Mission Impossible. So, speaking of Paramount, and speaking of Mission Impossible, we do have a release date for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. And that's right, I did not misspeak. They have taken part one off the title. A new version of the theatrical poster was released, and it is nowhere to be seen. I also checked the TV app on my iPhone and in the store. It was also not there, so they even updated the iTunes store with part one. Just not there anymore. Just Dead Reckoning. What are you talking about? It's always been Dead Reckoning, you know? But look, this isn't too much of a surprise, as when it was announced that part two was delayed to 2025, it was reported that they were going to rename it, and it would not technically be a part two, at least in the title. Like, I don't think they're dropping the story, but like, they're not going to advertise it as a part two, which meant at some point part one was going to have to come off, because by next year, if you're going to start telling people, hey, Mission Impossible 8 is now called this, people are going to go binge watch and catch up on the old movies, they're going to see a part one for Dead Reckoning, they'll be like, well, where's part two? It's going to get confusing. As for when it hits Paramount Plus, it'll be on the streaming service on January 25th in the United States and in Canada, and it'll hit other countries starting in February. Also for Paramount Plus, they have a new show out called The Woman in the Wall, starring Ruth Wilson. This is a co-production between BBC and Showtime, which actually has already been out on the BBC, since last fall. So actually, we're getting it kind of late over here. So far, it's getting good reviews, with it at 73% on Rotten Tomatoes. For NBC Universal, early signs point to the NFL wildcard game on Peacock being a success. They're already calling it the biggest live streamed event in U.S. history. And while not exact viewership numbers, they noted that at one point during the day, they had 16.3 million devices using Peacock. The average audience was 23 million, but I do believe that includes Miami and Kansas City broadcast, as those were the only two cities that were able to watch it on NBC. Everywhere else, you needed Peacock. Now, the question is, how many new subscribers did they get? And, you know, how many of them are staying? That's the big thing. But at least it looks like it worked to get a good influx of new customers. Also, Ted seems to be off to a strong start, with them also saying that the show is already the most watched original title for Peacock. Now, again, that's not a high bar, but still something to note, considering it's only been out for like a week. I take it the boost in people getting Peacock, they recognize Ted, right? Because again, honestly, smart move from them if they planned it out like this, right? You get people in them with the wildcard game. They're browsing around, oh, should I keep the service or not? They see Ted and like, huh, a spinoff series with Ted, or, you know, it's technically a prequel, and they start watching it. Again, smart for them if they timed it out like this, perfect. And this could be a huge year for Peacock, because for sports, they still have the Premier League, they have the Olympics, and obviously they'll have the NFL back in the fall. So definitely consistent sports coverage throughout the year. Put in a couple big shows. You got Oppenheimer still coming. Definitely could be a good year for them. And the latest for layoff news, even YouTube is being affected by it, with 100 employees getting cut. Hopefully they are able to land on their feet soon. Apple TV Plus has canceled Skimmabadoon after 2 seasons. I can never pronounce that one right. This was the musical comedy starring Cecily Strong and Keegan-Michael Key. The streamer also released a trailer for The New Look. This is a new drama series starring Ben Mendelsohn as Christian Dior and Juliette Binoche as Coco Chanel, and is based on true events. The series will premiere with its first 3 episodes on February 14th, with weekly releases afterwards until April 3rd. Over at Netflix, Deadline is exclusively reporting that the 3rd season of The Lincoln Lawyer is now in production. Netflix has released a teaser trailer for The Gentlemen. This is a series that is a sequel slash spinoff of the Guy Ritchie movie that came out a few years ago. I think it's more of a spinoff because while it looks like it takes place after the movie, as of now, the cast is all new characters. It stars Theo James, Kaya Scarlato, and Ray Winstone, among others. As for Guy Ritchie, he's the creator of the series, co-writer, executive producer, and also directed the first 2 episodes. Personally, I'm looking forward to giving this a watch. It comes out sometime in March. The company is looking to hire a financial analyst, whose responsibility would be to determine the cost of residual payments. This is likely due to changes from both the new WGA and SAG union contracts. And we have the Netflix Top 10 for the week of January 8th to the 14th. For movies, Lift debuted in first place with 32.8 million views. In second place was The Transporter 2 with 5.8 million views. And in third place was The Equalizer 3 with 5.7 million views. For non-English films, Society of the Snow came in first place with 28.1 million views and has broken into the top 10 non-English films overall at 10th place with over 50 million views. Yeah, that film has like quietly become a pretty good big hit for Netflix. And look, it's still early. It's still in the early 90-day window period for that film. So Society of the Snow could be top 5 all time for the non-English film, maybe even top 3. For English TV shows, Fool Me Once stayed in first place with another 23.9 million views. The Brother's Son moved up from 5th place to 2nd with another 6.9 million views. And the 3rd place was Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich, with 4 million views. For non-English TV shows, Money Heist Berlin stayed in first place with 8.7 million views. Sticking with the numbers for a minute, we also have the Nielsen Top 10 for the week of December 18th to the 24th. Overall, Young Sheldon came in first place with 1.4 billion minutes watched. Second place was Reacher with 1.18 billion minutes watched. And in third place was The Crown with 1.13 billion minutes watched. On the Streaming Originals Top 10, Percy Jackson and the Olympians debuted in 4th place with 572 million minutes. That's not bad, since it was only the first 2 episodes. Spanish language streamer VIX is planning to join everyone else and launch an ad tier sometime in 2024. As of now, VIX is available in the United States, Mexico, as well as some countries in Latin America. Deadline is exclusively reporting that Amazon are bringing their cutbacks to other departments as well internationally, with Prime Video implementing the same plan going forward that they just did for Southeast Asia to the Middle East and Africa. The plan is to cut down on staff and stop greenlighting new originals for those territories. No word on if anyone has been laid off yet from those teams. One territory, though, where there seems to be an expansion is Europe. Amazon is focused more now on developing European content, and a team will be split into 2. The first will be called EU Established, which will focus on the UK, France, Germany, Italy, and Spain. And the second team will be called EU Emerging, focused on the Nordics, Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands. Amazon is getting more access to sports by helping save Diamond Sports Group. The Regional Sports Network, or RSN, has been in a lot of financial trouble lately, but now has a reorganization plan and will be leaving bankruptcy. As part of that reorganization, Amazon will now own a minority share of the company. Along with that, Amazon and Diamond Sports have reached an agreement on streaming, customers will be able to use Prime Video channels to buy access to stream Diamond channels. Diamond has sports including NBA, MLB, and NHL. No word yet on how much it will cost or when the channels will be available, but this is a good get for Amazon. While they don't own the licensing for it, they can now use these channels once they're set up in marketing for Prime Video, saying, oh, are you in the area where Bailey's on TV? Well, you can subscribe to it on Prime Video and just watch, right? So it's still, they don't directly own the sports licenses, but they can get people to go to Prime Video, sign up for these channels, and then they're watching sports on Prime Video. So it works out for them. The Terminal List prequel series starring Chris Pratt and Taylor Kitsch has a new title called The Terminal List Dark Wolf, and production is set to start early this year, so I'm guessing springtime. Internationally, 20 screen trade organizations have joined together to request governments to enforce regulations on streaming services that would require them to make more local content. The organizations come from all over the world, including Europe, Latin America, and Australia. Basically, they want something similar to what France set up back in 2021, where 20 to 25% of a company's revenue in France needs to be invested in French content. The organizations did come together to make a letter and listed what they wanted. Here is some of it, not all of it, because otherwise it'd be multiple pages. Local audiences should have access to a broad range of new local stories across all the platforms they are using, all platforms that derive financial benefit from conducting businesses in the local market should financially contribute proportionally to the creation of new local content for the benefit of local audiences. To meet audience expectations, there is a need to maintain and support a healthy screen sector, in parentheses, development, production, including post-production and distribution, in parentheses there, that delivers employment, economic activity, industry upskilling, exports, and growth opportunities. Government has a role to address market failure and any imbalance in commercial bargaining power in the creation and delivery of quality new local screen content. Independent screen businesses should own and or retain control of the intellectual property, IP, and rights in their work, including the right to financially participate in the success generated by their work or on a platform created as part of a nation's own unique cultural heritage. Any government-regulated investment framework should specify that the majority of this investment should be fulfilled through projects where IP is under the control of independent screen businesses. This principle will assist businesses to remain strong and sustainable, thereby enhancing their capacity to invest in the development and production of new IP. Look, I can see where they are coming from with the big global streamers have done a lot of cutting over the past year. They're nervous. I get it. And they're nervous that the local content in their territory will get cut down to almost nothing, and the only shows getting made are if they have global appeal. That's a valid concern. It could absolutely happen. And look, I don't want that to happen either. I think one of the benefits of having global streamers has been the wide variety of local content from around the world. That's what makes streaming great. And hopefully maybe the governments will listen to them and enforce some new regulations. And some good news for the Golden Globes, the ratings are in, and they were an improvement over last year with 9.4 million tuning in to watch. While this doesn't come close to where it was a few years ago, it did get 18.3 million back in 2020, for example. It is 50% higher than last year when it was on NBC, where it got 6.3 million viewers. Now let's finish up with the Emmys, where Succession, The Bear, and Beef finished strong. Both Succession and The Bear won 6 Emmys, while Beef won 5. All three also won their main award. So for Succession, it was Best Drama, The Bear won Best Comedy, and Beef won Best Limited Series. And that's it for this episode of Box Office Receipts. If you want to follow me on Threads, X, or Facebook, links to those are in the show notes. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.